Well, there's more than one guy like that. When you think about the achievements of Hudson, what he did for our team this year, or the achievements of Milner, what he did for our team this year, those were two tough ones. You know? But they could be on the next roster if we're lucky enough.
So no Milner, no Hudson. Not quite sure anybody was all that disappointed that there was no Hobie Milner, because a lot of you fell out of love with Milner at some point or another in the second half. Pitched a little bit better in his last couple of appearances, I want to say. Hudson fell into their doghouse and got sent down in Nashville and never was able to get out of it. Then yesterday he talked before they knew the rosters and said he thought his velocity was back up where it needed to be and so forth, and felt fairly confident, kind of acted like he was going to be on the playoff roster. And then obviously finds out today that he's not. Now, again, they have the little taxi squad of guys that will be ready to roll. If somebody were to get hurt in the game, they could then activate them, and they'll be here, I'm assuming, staying in Milwaukee for the next 3 days, or 2 days, hopefully. That's all it takes going forward. Joining us now, he is Crunchy Kevin Holden. Follow him on Twitter at 321QKevin, formerly CBS 58 Sports Director. Kevin Holden, I have a question for you.
What's going on, Sparky?
So you're going through right now, kind of, what we all kind of went through to a degree back in 22 when they got rid of everybody off the station, where you're kind of at your own funeral and you're kind of getting to see who really loves you and who doesn't.
That's really true. And, I mean, the truth is, if you're asking who loves me and who doesn't, I think I've counted a total of two people who don't. It's amazing. It's been 5 days, and this is my first day free, but this is 5 days of, you know, basically from the good last goodbye on 58 through a couple of off days and a goodbye party, and then the thing on Telemundo on Sunday, the Brewers game, and then this thing Monday. And it's been incredible, from social media to the text and the phone calls and the messages. And man, if there was any doubt about the love affair between the Holdens and the city of Milwaukee, it was proven over the last 5 days. But it makes it tough, but man, it shows you that what you did meant something, and hopefully it isn't over. Hopefully there'll be more stuff that means something, because I'm ready for it.
If you think of what it was all like when you got there to what it all ended up looking like by the time you left, it's night and day from where 58 was to where it is now, as far as the new studio sets and just everything that kind of changed while you were there, seemingly for the better as far as equipment and so forth.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, the other half is, too, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus before my time here, but there were some other things that had to be repaired when I got here, not just, you know, the technology obviously, you know, took major steps forward, and we were a little bit behind on the technology when I got here. But it had to do with relationships too. And part of that was, you know, you needed a structure for it. It's funny because they brought me here in 2009 because I was kind of quirky and funny and had a personality. And it was supposed to be an offset for the first part of the newscast, which was very, very serious. You remember the 10 at 10 thing they used? And I was the offset. And I figured I was here to be a kind of a, what's the term? Like kind of a funny guy, right? And I got here, and what was needed was organization and relationships with teams and in the community and all that other stuff. Because there was just a lack of structure. And so, you know, a lot of that stuff was missing. That's what was built. And I never thought about that from a personal level, right? I was doing it because it was right for the job. But what I ended up gaining was all the relationships that we repaired. So, I feel happy about that part. I think that's part of why all the love was shown here, is that, you know, we put ourselves out there. We were a very good sports department, and they still are. Scott and Darius will still be, you know, Bulldogs. They'll be running hard, but just the relationships. That's the biggest thing. 2024 is a different world than 2009, for sure.
And people obviously know you did Telemundo. How did that opportunity come to be with you doing Sunday games on Telemundo?
So when they found out, when I was first interviewing for this job, they saw the line on the resume, which is, I have a dual college degree, broadcast news and Spanish. But my Spanish was, you know, thanks to great high school teachers. And then it was a minor. And then I decided I wanted to be Van Wilder and stay in school and make it a major. And, you know, none of that really applied to the actual job. I'd probably used it twice in my career before here. And so they, you know, they said, well, let's see you do Spanish. Can we see it for a minute? So I got on the set at my previous station and just loved over a minute of Spanish. I'm like, well, I blew this interview. This job's dead. And I called the news director back the next day to get the bad news. And he goes, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand Spanish. It sounded fine.
Oh, my God. He didn't even know it. So you could have literally said anything and you were going to get the job if it sounded remotely correct.
Anything. And because I figured what would happen was I'd come here and they'd go, oh, we'll use your Spanish. And they'd pat me on the head and I'd never hear about it again. And it turned out that a couple months in, they said, yeah, let's have you do something for the newscast. So I flubbed over a minute of Spanish for the newscast. And that then when I had already been here was when the news director was like, you know, we do Brewers games on Sundays in Spanish. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like we kind of missed that in the interview process. He said, can you do it? I said, can I do it? He said, give me 4 months and a stack of note cards and I guarantee you I'll do it. And that's what happened. I was terrible for the first year and then just got better.
That's awesome. That's such a cool story. Kevin Holden, Crunchy Kevin Holden, as I like to call him. Follow him on Twitter at 321QKevin. And now we all get to sit back and see where the next adventure comes, Kevin Holden.
I can't wait, dude. And who knows? Like, you know, there's a lot of people that have asked what is next. And I think they think I'm lying when I just shrug my shoulders. I really don't know. Like, today is day one of freedom. From, you know, anything holding me back. So it could be anything. It could be, you know, a television opportunity or radio here, and that'd be fantastic, obviously.
A professional masseuse?
I mean...
anything.
I've got tight end hands. They're not very good. They don't things. But, I mean, I can do it, you know, or whatever, man. I love numbers. Let's do something with numbers. No, I don't know. I don't know when or where or what. And... there's something freeing about that. You know what I mean? Like, the whole spectrum of the path is open. Everything is open right now.
Kind of like for the Milwaukee Brewers. Everything is open and in front of them as they get ready for game one of the wild card between the Brewers and Mets tonight. Peralta versus Severino. How much faith do you have that this Brewers team can get through this round?
So, I think... the biggest thing that's going to happen in this round where they'll be tested doesn't have anything to do with their... aggressive style on the bases. It doesn't have to do with bullpen. It doesn't have to do with any of that. The thing that makes me nervous about this round is youth at the plate and the fact that these games will feel different. The whole vibe, everything about it will be different. And sometimes you can get young hitters to chase stuff out of the zone. And I thought the Mets over the weekend were doing a really good job of throwing junk out of the strike zone. Quintana did it. Peterson did it. And I thought they both looked all right. I know Quintana's final numbers weren't great, but I thought he was getting a lot of swings and misses out of the zone. I think it's the opposite of what you would expect. Instead of trying to get these guys fired up, I think the most important thing is to get them back a little bit, rein them in just a bit, and make sure they're patient at the plate. They take care of that. I think they win this series. I think they've got enough to do it. But if the pitching for the Mets starts to do that, they start to expand the strike zone and get these young guys to swing and miss a ton and chase pitches, it could be a long series for the Brewers.
Talking with Kevin Holden. Follow him on Twitter at 321QKevin. When we talk about this Brewers pitching staff, they've only announced the starter for today, Freddie Peralta. They have not announced two, and they have not announced three, if there is a three, obviously. Based on how it was set up last week, it would appear Savali would start two, Montas would start three, and then it also would appear that Tobias Myers then would be the guy coming out of the pen, to which I'm none too happy because Tobias Myers has been your best pitcher all year long, and I would have thought he would be guaranteed at least one of these first two starts after Peralta. I thought he would start game two, and that's just not how they had it set up at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that myself. And I think the reason that they haven't decided anything past one is because they want to see what happens in game one, not just win or loss, but also the approach of the Mets hitters, you know, what they have and what they're capable of right now. Because the Mets came here and played three games and flew to Atlanta and played two in a day in rain, and now they're back here for a day game. And I think the how the Mets hitters approach it may affect how Murphy and the Brewers throw whatever pitcher they throw. I got to tell you, they did something Saturday that piqued my interest, though. They were not afraid to start Koenig as an opener, lefty as an opener, and then go to a righty after that. And I think the righty was Myers. So to me, it was successful enough. That was a 6-0 win that day. And obviously, game 161 of a regular season ain't game 2 of a playoff series. I get it. But I thought it was a pretty decent combination, and it is the same lineup of hitters. I don't know. I'm almost tempted, if I'm Pat Murphy and I win the first game, to do that, to let Myers, slide in there somewhere, or if it's Koenig opening for Savali or whatever, I'm not afraid to let that happen. But I'm with you on Tobias Myers. I thought he's one of the great stories of the year for the Brewers, and this would have been a great chance to reward him by making sure he pitched in the first two games, one of the first two games of this series.
A lot of optimism from Brewers fans is saying that, well, we don't have the trader anymore as manager, so this gives us a better chance with Pat Murphy. I will ask you, did you think the trader was a bad playoff manager during his time in Milwaukee?
I mean, Council had some things that happened to him in playoff series. I don't know if that makes him a bad playoff manager. I thought the one time that I had a question mark was 2021, the deciding game in 2021 in Atlanta, and I'd say deciding, it was game 4 they lost. But Council was trying to tinker early in a game, third or fourth inning, and I wish I could remember the specifics, but I just remember that he used a hitter in one situation earlier than expected, and it led to some weirdness, like Josh Jeter throwing in the seventh inning and came basically a small decision, and chasing that bad decision led to a series of bad decisions that pushed the Brewers underneath in the game that cost him the season. I still wouldn't call him a bad playoff manager. Trent Grisham would have made him look like a much better playoff manager if he caught that ball in right field in 2019. I don't know if I put all of that on Council. I still don't hold a ton of hard feelings. It's real difficult to see him in a Cubs uniform, but I don't hold a lot of hard feelings about what he did when he was here. Murphy's about people, and he can work a room. He's incredible with that, which means he's got the player's support. But we're gonna see what that means, if that means he's gonna have him too fired up, or if he'll have it just right and he'll know how to play this playoff series.
I suggest some reading if you've not read it yet. There is a great piece by a writer I've never heard of in The Athletic on Pat Murphy's childhood and growing up and what got him to this point. That is amazing and outstanding. I had no idea about Murphy's childhood and growing up and what he all went through. Really, really good stuff. If you haven't had a chance to read it, Mr. Holden, you're going to the game. You got seats. You're ready to go.
Yeah, my wife just showed up. She's eating something. We're at home right now, and she's right across from me. What are you eating? Oh, a payday bar. Oh, she's getting sugared up for this game. So we can walk from where we are to the ballpark. So we're going to do this, and I'm telling you, Sparky, I am flat nervous, because if there's one thing that I am, it's a bad fan, because I've spent too much time in a press box watching a baseball game. And that's a different experience. You watch it with a critical eye. You don't speak. You don't root and yell and that sort of thing. And I learned that when we went to see my alma mater, Georgia, play Missouri in football. This is back in 2012. And I realized, that's the first time I realized I'm a bad fan, because there was some key third down play and the rest of my section is going, ah, and I'm going, safety help, somebody get some safety help down there. I realize I'm bad at this, so I'm just going to have to put the media brain away, you know?
I'm telling you right now, you need to bring yourself a Sharpie with you.
For autographs?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're
going to be walking around, dog. I'm telling you, because this isn't something you normally do, so I'm just saying, like, you bring a Sharpie with you, man. Some people may want to be signed and having you sign jerseys, shirts, whatever the case may be. I just put it in my pocket. Maybe nobody asks, who knows? But better to be prepared. That's what Leroy Butler has always taught me with Leroy. So, you know, he always has a Sharpie on hand ready to go.
Dude, the one that I remember, you remember Jackie Sherrill, the Texas A&M football coach?
Yes, yeah.
Jackie Sherrill, you could approach Jackie Sherrill in the middle of July on hole 14 golf course with a camera, and he would turn around and smile and say, "You need a white balance?" And he'd pull a tissue out of his pocket.
That's awesome.
Because he understood the white balance made him look better on camera. That's a savvy dude right there.
That is a savvy dude. Kevin Holden, follow him on Twitter at 321Q. Kevin, enjoy the game, Mr. Holden.
Thanks, man. You'll hear me yelling and probably hoarse by the time we get to tomorrow.
That's a beautiful thing. There he is, Kevin Holden, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's.